The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning. Tune in to the numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. Gil Alexander, Kelly Midland.
Heyo.
Alongside, what's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
It's a weird morning. Something we're going to talk about here momentarily makes it a weird morning.
Yeah.
But we have tennis to get to here early on. We have some guests as well. Paul Carr on soccer. We will do that here momentarily as well. Greg Peterson. What a booking by you. Greg Hoops Peterson on Major League Baseball. All day Major League Baseball. By the way, the Mariners did not start out July nicely. A 3-run loss to the Royals. 0-1 out of the gate.
Yeah. Come on, Cal Raleigh. Step it up.
Yeah. Supposed to be an MVP that people around here think they're going to vote on.
Two homers a night. Come on. This is what we expect.
He's not winning MVP, by the way. I'll just say that again.
As long as he can bust up the Aaron Judge triple crown for me, that would be appreciated.
So much to get to here. We'll talk AFC West as well.
AFC West today,
as we continue division by division, just some thoughts and bets that have been triggered by just some football analysis this offseason for Kelly and myself. Tennis today, so day one of Wimbledon, choppy, kind of a wash, if you add the match that carried over from Monday, that is. And then yesterday, not good, the Ofer yesterday. But the reason that I keep going is because, as I said, my winnowing has not been good. My filtration system on getting these leans down to the ones I actually play. So the leans let me know that I'm okay here. We have six plays in tennis today. Six of them. One of them has started, and that's the big dog of the day, Lloyd Harris, the South African, is taking on Andre Rublev, perennial top 10 in the world. Lloyd Harris plus 261, and right now in the first set, Harris was up a break. I'm not sure if he got broken back. He did get broken back. So we're on serve in the first set. Rublev and Harris, that's the one that has started. The others today, Jordan Thompson. Jordan Thompson plus 154. Jordan Thompson is taking on Benjamin Bonzi. Bonzi is the guy who beat Medvedev. So a couple of these are fading guys off upset. So Jordan Thompson, good grass court player, really good grass court player, plus 154 against Benjamin Bonzi coming up. Ethan Quinn against Kamille Majerczak on the men's side. Ethan Quinn's a minus 128 favorite. These are, again, beeson.com/picks for subscribers. These were all put in yesterday. Christian Garin plus 136 versus Artur Rinderknecht. Rinderknecht was the guy who beat Sasha Zverev yesterday. So fading him off that with Garin at plus 136. Those are on the men's side. So Thompson, Quinn, and Garin are the three plays that have yet to start. Harris is the one in action. And then on the ladies' side today, the veteran Anastasia Pavlyuchenkova, which Kelly loves spelling.
Pavlyuchenkova.
Yeah, Pavlyuchenkova minus 122 against Ashlyn Kruger. And then going back to the well with our girl Katerina Siniakova, this time against Naomi Osaka. This one the price might be drifting. We didn't get the best of this number either when I put him in yesterday at VSiN.com/picks or what Bill 80 did for me. But Siniakova to beat Naomi Osaka today in a Wimbledon, in a first 2 days, a first round of Wimbledon that has been historic. That has absolutely been historic. First time two of the three top ladies seeds have been ousted in the first round, namely Coco Gauff, the number 2 seed, and Jessie Pegula, the number 3 seed. They are dunzo from Wimbledon. Coco losing yesterday to Diana Yastremska. And by the way, if you listen to the Beating the Book podcast, while mainstream media is going nuts over this, none of this is really shocking to tennis hardos. Gauff only played one grass court match prior to Wimbledon. She was making the transition, as so many of folks were, from clay, but she only got one tune-up. She lost that to Wang Jinyu, and now she loses to Yastremska in straights. Pegula obviously lost the day before. They're out in a span of 9 hours. It's the first women's major in the open era, as I mentioned, where two of the top three seeds lost their opening match, but it's also the first Wimbledon where eight top 10 seeds, men's and women's, gone in the first round. Four on the men's side of the top 10, four on the ladies' side of the top 10.
It's wild.
And by the way, in those cases, namely Gauff, Pegula, Zhang Xinwen, who we faded to success, Paula Badosa on the ladies' side. That's the 2, 3, 5, and 10 seeds. And on the men's side, Sasha Zverev, the third seed. The seventh seed, Lorenzo Musetti, who lost to Basilashvili. That was awful. And then Holger Rune, the eighth, and Medvedev, the ninth. Gone. 2 days. That's it.
It's crazy. I mean, you do it every year, but I thought you did a great job this year, and we had the discussion leading into the tournament of just, hey, if you're betting tennis, like, Wimbledon can get a little crazy. The grass can get a little crazy.
Grass is nuts. And like I said, it's like playing golf on ice. Listen, if you had a golf tournament on ice all of a sudden in the middle of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bit of an exaggeration, but you know what I mean there.
Yeah, there's the expression putting on glass when the greens are really fast. But like, I mean, it's kind of comparable to the, you know, like the U.S. Open carnage, right? It's just it becomes very difficult to handicap for different reasons.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's see if we can get those home today in tennis. The other thing is, before we launch into all the sports handicapping, we would. It's not really a subject I love talking about because it's not about in the weeds handicapping on any of our favorite sports, trying to make money. But it is something that I think my head would be in the sand if I didn't mention it.
The public needs to be aware of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
The big, beautiful bill is up for vote in the House today. Donald Trump's big, beautiful bill. Well, that word beautiful is subject to interpretation. Gamblers not thinking it's beautiful. This is from our buddy Captain Jack, the commissioner of sports betting. The hits just keep on coming. The big, beautiful bill proposes that gambling losses be capped at 90% of winnings, even for professionals. If you file the way the IRS intends, you declare gross winnings and deduct losses. This means even losing gamblers would owe money on their gambling. We do the other Captain Jack, which is, the last 2 days as a professional gambler have been my worst since the unlawful internet gaming, I want to get the acronym correct here. I always mess this up. The unlawful internet, the Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006, the UIGEA, Unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act of 2006, was snuck into the Safe Ports Act in 2006. We used to be considered self-employed small business owners. Now we're being treated as criminal second-class citizens. Mm-hmm. Disgusting, angry emoji. By the way, what he's referring to, the UIGEA in 2006, that's when Republican Congressman Bill Frist attached that as pork to an unrelated bill and rammed it through Congress. This feels very similar in the nature. This is a add-on to the big, beautiful bill, and again, voted on by the House today. And I hate doing math on the show, but it's good to give a math example here. Poker player Phil Galfond did a great job of this on Twitter yesterday. I'll give one of his examples and I'll add on one. But he said, but basically, let's take a normal how it has been, right? You win $100,000 in a year, you lose $100,000. It's a wash. You don't get taxed on it, right? That's how it's been.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. With this 90% provision, if you win, and this will start in 2026. If you win $100,000 and you lose $100,000, you can only deduct 90% on those losses, right? So you'll owe, even though you didn't win any money, $100,000 up, $100,000 down, you'll owe tax on $10,000 of phantom income because you can only deduct the $90,000. So you would owe tax on, pardon me, on $10,000 of phantom income. I'll take it one step further from that example given by Phil Galfond, which is, let's say, Kelly, you win $100,000 in a year, but you lose, I don't know, $105,000.
Yeah.
So let's say you lose $5,000.
So I've lost more than I've won in the year.
Okay, so you lose $5,000 in a year. You will actually owe taxes. Let me do the quick math on this. $105,000, knock off $10,500. You'd actually pay taxes as if you've won $5,500, if I'm doing the math correctly, even though you actually lost $5,000. So if you take it, and again, Galfond and Captain Jack did a great job of this, which is, let's say you're a big-time pro bettor, right? Let's say you are, that is your profession, you are a professional bettor, and let's say you're up in the stratosphere, okay? One of the examples that Galfond used, and this is, the higher this gets, the more you will be able to see it. Let's say a pro earns $200,000 a year wagering. They might have $3 million in winnings. They might have $2.8 million in losses. Mm-hmm. In that example, yes, you made $200,000, but you would be taxed as if you earned $480,000. Take it one step further. The higher it gets, as I said, the more stark it becomes. Let's say you have 5.2 million in winnings. This is an example that Galfond gave, but you lost 5 million. So you netted 200,000 that way. You won 5.2, you lost 5 million. Instead of getting taxed on your $200,000 earn, you would get taxed. Once again, 90% of the 5 million of your losses is 4.5 million. You'd get taxed as if you earned 700,000, right? Because it would be a right, because that's the math on that. Instead of being able to deduct the entire 500,000, you didn't win 200 by the tax code that is suggested here. You would have won a phantom additional 500K. So you see, for a sports, for a professional sports bettor, this becomes a non-starter. The math just doesn't work. And so while it is called the Big Beautiful Bill, it is not beautiful to bettors. And then you hear sort of the, you know, we don't know who attached this as pork. One can only speculate. What's the name of Mitch and Pauly show? Follow the Money. Some people saying, hey, look, Donald Trump Jr. is a special advisor to Kalshi, which is a prediction market. Prediction markets are not subject to this tax code because it's not considered in the same category of gambling. So I don't know. Interesting day for gamblers, to say the least. And by interesting, I mean not good, perhaps.
This affects a lot, too. I'm really interested to hear what Bill and Steve Fezzik have to say about this over the next couple days, because this is, I think, some of the things that the three of us like to play, like video poker and stuff. It becomes very affected by this when you're getting the W-2Gs that are printed out when you hit hand pays. It becomes a lot more difficult to write off your losses, like we talked about.
Will Hill on Actual Sports on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, never forget our website, VSIN.com. If you want to bet smarter, start with smarter insights on the website. Right now, you can check out our NFL betting guide out yesterday in full bloom. Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, we'll try to bring that to life a little later on the show. Wes Reynolds' John Deere Classic Picks, and Zach Cohen's NBA Transaction Recap. A lot to recap there. And later today, you can check out Jonathan Davis's NHL Transaction Recap, Josh Applebaum's MLB Best Bets. Right now, you can sign up for full Visa Pro access until the Super Bowl for only $175. Head to VSIN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Sean Engel, who I believe is at Wimbledon right now. He says he's at, he says, Jensen Brooksby looking right at home at the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. Fun match this. As you might expect, Joao Fonseca's fans are a lot more raucous than Jensen's. Look at him, courtside.
No, Jensen Brooksby.
Oh, look at you. Look at you, no. Sean Engel. Nicely done. I love that we get tweets from everywhere around the world. People are at all these tournaments. It's great. Hans Gruber. Love hearing John Legesa with Gil and Kelly on a numbers game. I think Texas could be a team from nowhere that gets hot and wins it all. DeGrom, Eovaldi, couple others, bullpen good. If, a big if, their hitters can improve, they could win it all. On paper, they have a lineup that should be good. I'm also a little worried, Hans, about a little bit of DeGrom's underlying numbers. A diminishing K rate, a slightly elevated walk rate. It's a little bit of concern on that. And this one's for you, Kelly. I'll cede this one to you. This is Mike P., who said, is the Nuggets to win the Western Conference at 7-1 and plus 950, both on DK to win the division, are either good bets based on your free agency discussion from yesterday? Not sure if it was 7-1 or plus 950, but he's got both numbers there.
Yeah, I mean, I actually responded to him. I like the Nuggets. I just think, like we always talk about, I don't think it's worth tying your money right now on that bet, where throughout the course of the NBA season, you will likely be able to get a very similar number, if not better, on the Nuggets to in both of those markets. So I just, no need to fire now. Plus, if you've been watching the past 2 days, like these teams are rapidly changing every single day. So not something I would get involved in now. Just on face value, do I hate the number attached to the Nuggets right now? No, I don't. I think if there was one Western Conference bet, it's probably the one I would make. But now, I don't think there's, timing-wise, no reason to make it now.
Evan Klein, UIGEA, the death of online poker. Yes, it was back in 2006. Charles in Connecticut, Hoop Homer, fantastic explanation on the Big Beautiful Bill issue. Much better job than I did in my message to you. Phantom income is a great way to refer to it. Thanks for covering it. Charles, you and 5,000 others. Well, maybe I'm exaggerating 5,000, but so many people tweeting about that yesterday. Nate King, I'm thinking about the impact of arb betting and scalps with this tax deal. Make your head explode. Ice Cold Gambler. Well, the big, beautiful offshore book is just looking better and better. Nothing like cash in an envelope. LOL. He's right. That's the.
It's another thing.
That's exactly
we keep
what it
up.
Will yep. produce. Yep. Right. That's exactly what where folks will go.
Legalize gambling and want to keep pushing them to illegal.
Because this just in, ladies and gentlemen, it might not be the oldest profession in the world. I think we know what that is. But people are going to gamble. No matter what. It's part of our human nature. It's part of the human condition. People will find a way. And if it has to be offshore, oh, well, then it is. Minky Monkey Man.
Gil- What's the oldest, Gil?
I don't know. I'm going to look that up. Google that. Let me know if you know. Minky Monkey Man. Gil, great stuff on. I'll ask Delicious over at the. Gil, great stuff on gambling tax component in the bill. Curious if anyone in Vegas has been lobbying Congress to make sure this doesn't get included or if it just slipped in quietly. Great show as always. It really did slip in quietly, yeah. Which is the same way that it happened in 2006. And no one could really rally anything because it's being voted on today, right mm-hmm. out of the chute. So it's real quick. We'll get to more, but I want to get to Will Hill, who's kind enough to join us this morning at Not The Will Hill on Twitter, the host of his own podcast, Shoulda Bet More, and also, of course, star of Chris Felica's Bear Bets Pod and the Megapod, coming to a podcast feed near you soon when football season starts. How you doing, Willie?
Gilly, what's going on? Yeah, well, a couple months. It won't be that long before Todd Wishnev is giving play-by-play and all of his other antics, and I'm excited for it.
I'm excited for it.
Todd should produce a deep trailer for this. We should have like a 2-minute trailer leading up to the new season of the Megapod.
You know what? That's a fantastic idea.
That's what
actually.
I do. I'm an idea man.
Producer number 9. So much more than a producer. Willie, what you got in Major League Baseball today? Let's start there.
Played a few things. Played over 9 in this Tampa A's game. And, boy, we do have a lot of baseball today. 18 games here with all the rainouts yesterday. We got, I think, 3 doubleheaders, so it should be a lot of fun. But over 9, Tampa and the A's. I like both those lineups. Minor league ballpark. I think we should see some runs there. And then I played under 4.5 first 5. Cardinals and Pirates. Sonny Gray against Keller. Two pitchers I like more than I don't, and two lineups that can be a little shaky. Pirates had that outburst against the Mets where they beat them with 30-4 in the sweep, but still not a good lineup. They went back to not scoring for Skeens last night, and I think Gray can do a good job against them. So I like that under 4.5 in the first 5, a little juice with that, but minus 130 or so I'm okay with. And also under 4.5 first 5, Cubs and Guardians. Imanaga against Bybee, two more pitchers I like. Imanaga, a lefty going against a Cleveland lineup that just can't hit lefties at all. So that's another under 4.5 in the first 5. And Yankees money line, full game.
Yeah.
Barrios going against the Yanks. He struggled against this Yankee lineup in the past. Warren is a guy with much better splits against righties than lefties. Toronto with a bunch of righties. So Yankees coming off a couple of just awful, ugly, really rough-looking losses here. I do think they bounce back here. I think there's a pretty cheap, reasonable price here for the Yankees. So those 4 is what I have so far in Major League Baseball.
This is it. The Giants, I'll just co-sign on that with the Giants in terms of just ugly baseball. It sometimes happens before an all-star break, right? Some teams just crater. And it's looking that way for the Giants, too. By the way, thank you, Major League Baseball. We have a bunch of day games today, including, by the way, one that starts 10 minutes after this show is done, 12:10 Eastern, 9:10 Pacific, at Tampa Bay, the Athletics and the Rays. Give me the Will Hill sort of long-term baseball outlying viewpoint, maybe on a certain team that you're more bullish on than the market, maybe you're more bearish on. What's a Will Hill big picture thought?
I would say there's no great team in baseball. The Dodgers are probably still the best team by process elimination, and they just have the abundance of resources in the lineup that just is relentless. But with the state of their pitching, I just don't think you can call them a great team. They're not infallible. They nearly lost last year. They were down 2-1 in San Diego with throwing a bullpen game in game 4 on the road against Cease. So I'm sure they'll be in the mix here at the end, and they're obviously really good. But I just think the American League, nowhere near as good as the National League. Here's one for you. I think the NL Central might turn out to be what we all thought the NL West was going to be in terms of this gauntlet with all of these good teams beating each other up. If you look at the NL Central, it's actually turned out to be a really good division. Now, I never trust these AL or NL Central teams once you get to the playoffs. It feels like all these teams in the Central's crater, but the Central is shaping up to be a lot of fun with the Reds finally coming to life a little bit here. The Cardinals have overachieved. The Brewers always seem to overachieve. The Brewers are like the Rays. They just always seem to do more with less, regardless of who they have, who they've lost, what you think of them. You always look up and they're 86, 88 wins somehow. And then the Cubs at the top are still a really good team. So I think the NL Central is a little bit like what we thought the NL West was going to be.
That's a good call. NL Central over NL is turning out to be what we thought the NL West would be. It's a good call because both the Padres and the Giants and even the Diamondbacks, maybe the Diamondbacks because of injuries, all seem to have not been, at least the first half of the season, the clubs we thought they would be. By the way, Randall Grichuk, homer, double last night. Nice job, friend of the show. Let's go to football. Were you part of the guide, Will? If you were, if you weren't, can you share with us a couple of your favorite season-long football plays?
I was part of the guide. And one of the perks of being part of the guide is you go in a little spreadsheet and you enter your picks and you get to read everybody else's stuff. And I will say, just as a quick aside, if you haven't gotten, if you're on the fence about getting it, nobody's going to order this and say, man, I wish I didn't get it. It's really good. It's really well worth it. There's a lot of picks, comprehensive analysis. It really helps you get ready for football season. I'll throw one on. I might have talked about this on other shows. I don't think I've talked about it with you. Steelers plus 330 to lose in the wild card round. I think this is somewhat self-explanatory where this has happened 4 out of the last 5 years, and they just have enough in terms of defense, in terms of culture, to grind their way to 9-10 wins somehow, but not win the division. And when you don't win the division, you get a road game. And when you get a road game, that usually means you're playing one of the big boys, whether it's Josh Allen or Mahomes or Lamar Jackson, who, you know, not, coincidentally or not coincidentally, those are the last three playoff opponents they faced, their last three playoff exits here. So I just think they have enough to wiggle their way into the playoffs like they usually do, and they're probably going to get bounced because they probably won't be a division winner with home field. So, again, this is cash 4 out of the last 5. You're getting a nice plus 330. So, yeah, look, I've made the mistake in past years of trying to, all right, this is the year he goes under. This is the year they don't go 500. You know what? If you can't beat them, join them. I'm just going to say they sneak their way into the playoffs once again, but I'll take the plus 330 payout that they make it but get eliminated in the wild card round.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, the Steelers are clearly all in, right? And that's the other thing about the guide. So the guide, we put all our predictions out in June. I had a Broncos to make the playoffs bet, which I made. And one of the things I said was like, who's knocking them out? And then right after that, it's as if the Steelers were like, oh, I'll show you who's going to knock them out. Here you go. This is what we're about to do. So there's some of that, too, in the guide, and we'll see what manifests. Because if the Broncos do get there and the Steelers don't, I'll be like, see, told you so. Even in the guide, before all the Steelers moves, that ended up being correct. But we'll talk AFC West here on the other side of the break. Will, appreciate it as always. Good luck with baseball. I'm sure we'll be group texting today, sir.
All right, Keely, appreciate you guys. Thanks.
At not the Will Hill, by the way. Two E's on the V.
That's right. The Will
Hill. The Will Hill. We'll come back. AFC West. Let's talk about it. Chiefs, Broncos, Chargers, Raiders. Next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
ProfitX, offering the best odds all baseball season long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds. Download ProfitX today with code VSiN and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Profit X, unaffected by the big, beautiful bill.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of which, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Can I just read a few of these here? Dan Wickhorst, while Canada's heading towards communism, we still don't have to pay taxes on our betting, so I guess that's still a plus. Dan Wickhorst tweeting us from our Game Plus audience out there. Primetime, Cowboys underscore Cubs one. Yo, hey man, thought I'd share something that is actually beautiful. Love being able to listen from my office. And he has a beautiful picture of a...
I think he's over at Whistling Straits. I was tweeting with back and forth with him yesterday.
Looking at a beautiful sunrise or sunset he's looking at over there. This is from Jonathan Doe. There are tennis betting splits on DK, but no tennis betting splits on Circa. Why? I don't know. We'd have to ask Circa about that.
Yeah, did not know.
Las Vegas 514, yo. So being a professional sports bettor is going to be much different moving forward. You literally can't lose. Sheesh. Or you literally can't win, basically. Lucky Luciano, real smart, right? Legalize sports betting, then do this. Well, time to move offshore. You think the books would be upset. Offshore will be the beneficiary.
Dead Bells just sent a great through. One on this.
Josie714, even when sports gambling gets legalized here in California, I'll still use Bovada for the reasons you just talked about. Bitcoin withdrawals in 30 seconds. Yes, sign me up. John Balducci, gamblers lost an ally when Harry Reid passed. He would never have let this happen. Probably true. And Dan Bell, 77. I think politicians, apolitically speaking, just view gamblers as never-ending supply of money. Yes, you're so right, Den Bells. In New York, the tax rate, no promos, worsening odds spreads, no awards, the exchanges are toast. Just give us the money and thank you, and we don't know where the billions are that they are raking in. So that's an A-plus tweet right there.
A-plus, A-plus.
It's so true. By the way, that also applies beyond our corner of the world. That applies beyond betting, which is that we often have legislation made by politicians who have no idea about the industry they're making legislation about.
Yep.
And have no thought of the consequences. They can't even think that far into it because they are not of that life. So that goes beyond. That's a great tweet.
It's just amazing. Like that, just the short amount of time it takes, Gil, for how many decades, in years and decades, gamblers, marijuana users, I'll even include, right? You're pounding your fist to like, what, this is so dumb, legalize it. What takes so long? And finally, you get a political movement, and then it is just amazing how quickly the greed overcomes everything.
Mm-hmm.
And Den Bell said, like, it's just, they think it's never going to end. They think the money's never going
to
end.
And in the interest of just reading all the tweets and all the viewpoints, Stringfellow Hawk, in an attempt to keep this apolitical, he says, elections have consequences, he says. And A. Dufresne on Trump tax, insane how many people who make this for a living fell for the most obvious grifting moron in modern American history, he says. It's not me talking. I'm just reading the tweets. Okay, by the way, can I welcome a new radio station, Kelly?
Yeah.
Why are you laughing?
just a funny second.
I mean, what, we would have been talking about anything.
This is what we do every day,
this
promise.
This is not usually what we do, Charlotte. we want to welcome the city of Charlotte to the growing VSiN Radio Network, WZGV AM. Has rebranded from ESPN Charlotte 730 The Game to InsideTheGame.bet. I like that. Becoming the region's first radio station dedicated entirely to sports betting content. VSiN programming now available. Ready for this, Kelly? On more than 350 stations in 46 states.
That's wild.
Reaching nearly 90% of the U.S. radio market. Welcome. WZGVAM in Charlotte.
Which states are holding out on us?
I was going to say, what are the four states?
Yeah, I want names. I want receipts.
I'll spot you Utah, and then you can pick the other three.
Yeah, exactly. All right, can I bring up one more thing about
Please.
This?
Yes.
And then maybe we can move on. Maybe, I don't know. I can talk about this for 2 hours.
This is all people want to talk about. You know.
I will tell you, last year was the first year in my betting career where did everything correct, up and up, on the up and up with the taxes and everything, and it was painful, Gil. It was painful. And when this came down yesterday, it was like, oh, last year's a joke for compared to what you're in for the future. It's just, it's a blow, man. It's a major blow.
You add that on top of all the stuff that we talk about daily, which is the limiting, the, you know, if you win in any way, they'll figure out a way. The spinning,
mm-hmm.
Some of these bets you try to make, it's like for they won't let you bet more than a few bucks on some stuff. So I mean, you can't be quote unquote attacked from all sides.
Which is exactly what it feels like.
A good thing, yes, right?
That is a perfect way of putting it, because that's exactly what it feels like. Right?
On a positive note, I won a tiebreaker, which I didn't think I'd ever be able to do again. Alex Bolt lost two of them to Ben Shelton yesterday. Lloyd Harris with a tiebreaker win in the first set against Andre Rublev. So hopefully we get that dog home up a set.
Every time I hear Lloyd Harris, I think two things. I think Dumb and Dumber, because it was Lloyd and Harry, I think, in Dumb and Dumber. And then I think about, who is it, Lloyd Braun, right, from Seinfeld?
Oh,
is
wow.
That the guy's name?
That's a pull.
Yeah. I don't know why. Okay. That's what I hear every time.
Hey, let's talk some AFC West.
Let's do it.
AFC West football. I guess we have to shout out. Any AFC West discussion has to start with the fact that you have four coaches. Can we just give the whole division a shout out? You should be wearing your AFC West hat today.
Yeah, Buddhist man never sent me that one. I just got an AFC hat.
Okay. As long as you wear your NBA South Division hat, you should be okay.
Southeast Division. Let's go,
Orlando.
I invested more. I'll get to that later.
AFC with Andy Reid, Sean Payton, Jim Harbaugh, Pete Carroll. You know how many combined wins they have as coaches? 668. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So just sports talk radio shout out to those four guys.
You know the one I was thinking of last night? Was
average age 65 and a half.
Yeah, did we not make a big enough deal of, like, Pete Carroll got a job again, but Bill Belichick couldn't get a job in the NFL?
We probably didn't.
Like, I don't know why,
but others did.
That hit me again yesterday where I was like, that is a little weird.
By the way, we always, I don't know if you guys know this, but Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season. I'm not sure if we ever mentioned that before. But, do you know that, it's just that one game, right? Pete Carroll's never won fewer than seven. He's never won fewer than seven games.
In his entire career?
Since his first year. He's never won fewer than seven.
Wow.
And Jim Harbaugh has never had a losing season as an NFL coach either. Peyton's worst career finish, 7-9. So as much as we talk about that Mike Tomlin thing, these guys are hovering right beneath that. I don't think Joe Gibbs ever won less than seven.
I'm glad
also. You
brought that up. That is very interesting and worth noting.
All right, Kansas City Chiefs. Yesterday we talked about the NFC East. I mentioned one score games last year, that Washington was 9-4 in one score games, and everybody harps on the 9, but they don't harp on the 4. Philly, 9-2 in one score games. Do you know what Kansas City's record? You know what the Chiefs' record was in one score games last year?
Wasn't it one loss?
12-0.
12-0.
Playoffs and talking about regular season and playoffs. 12-0. Nine straight division wins, obviously, made five of the last six Super Bowls. Just incredible. But then they got exposed by the Eagles in the Super Bowl, right? They didn't blitz, and they sacked Mahomes six times without blitzing at all. Taking care of some offensive line deficiencies have the Chiefs this offseason. Jaden Hicks in for Justin Reed at safety. Rashee Rice returns. Chiefs win total 11.5. Broncos and Chargers are both at 9.5. Broncos, you think of them as a big running team, but that was their bugaboo last year. Javonte Williams led the team with 8.2 carries per game last year. Their running backs had one more touchdown than fumbles, 7-6.
Oof.
So R.J. Harvey, for you fantasy players, is going to be their big running back. They also have J.K. Dobbins rostered as well. Harvey, Dobbins is your new Kamara and Ingram. And by the way, then the Bills exposed them in the playoffs, 44 carries for 210 yards. So they hooked up the defense with Dre Greenlaw and Talanoa Ufanga from the Niners to add to Alex Singleton. Mims going to be huge on offense this year. He was big in Peyton's offense the last five games. So Knicks has Harvey and Dobbins in the backfield, Mims, Evan Ingram. So they got weapons on offense in addition to a stout defense. Chargers added Mekhi Becton on the offensive line. They think, their bugaboo was wide receivers. They had almost no production there. Trey Harris, Keandre Lambert Smith, big supposedly as wideouts along with Mike Williams this year. And Aronde Gadsden supposed to be a big tight end for fantasy players. And then it's the Raiders at the end. Geno Smith, Pete Carroll, John Spytek, Chip Kelly, all in the front, obviously in the coaching staff. But they drafted Ashton Jeanty. Problem is they didn't really address the offensive line that well. And that's their biggest flaw. Raiders are going to be last. By the way, the Raiders are to me are obviously fourth. I'm not sure the Chiefs are first, but they probably are again. I think the Broncos edge out the Chargers. And my play that I did make, Broncos to make the playoffs at -120.
Yeah, I like it. I'm still a little confused on that team. I think there's a lot of love for them. The defense is really good, right? I don't know if I'm sold on Bo Nix yet, and I think they're... I mean, it's easy to say
this
about...
Made us look bad last year, didn't he?
Yeah, no, he did. It's just... I think their entire success depends on how good he really is in year two.
I think it's fair.
Which, I mean, you can say that about a lot of teams and a lot of quarterbacks, but I think I got a little more faith in the Chargers, but I'm with you, Raiders. Actually, I'm going to be looking for that bet, Dad. Raiders last in the AFC West. You can play those. They're one of the NFC West.
Yeah, but what's the juice on that, I wonder?
I shall find.
Paul Carr on the other side. Global football, as we call it, soccer. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Back on the Numbers Game, live from Circa Resort Casino, downtown Las Vegas. Gil Alexander and Kelly Bidlin, everybody. Charlotte, you're right. Charlotte's like, is this what these guys talk about every day?
These guys are depressing.
Talk about tax codes and math problems and stuff. It's all anybody wants to talk about on Twitter today. The numbers guys, we get tweets. Amateur bettors have always been getting the shaft on their 1040, factoring in that you have to itemize to deduct 100% of the losses. Since Trump's Tax Cuts and Jobs Act at 18, the increased standard deduction made itemizing much less common. Now the pros are going to get it nailed. Super Jerk, your boy, says, don't tell me Kelly's getting old enough to figure out that anything government touches messes up. He didn't say the word messes. Welcome. Thanks for tuning in. Super Jerk, how old are you? Like 135 years old when you're talking, Kelly? Jason, Ice Cold.
I love Super Jerk.
He's the best. Formerly angriest guy in Kentucky. Formerly angriest guy in New Jersey. Ice Cold Gambler. I can't wait for tomorrow's show with Crack and Fezzik on Friday to get their takes on this big, terrible gambling bill. I have a feeling Crack's going to be red hot about this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, he is. Chance Copperpot. Since we're all going to be pushed offshore by 2026, I suppose I should sell off all this stock I have in legal domestic sports books. StatLogic Sports. On the one score wins, we talked about this a little bit yesterday, StatLogic. He said, more and more it seems that sports media folks form opinions first, then dig up numbers to support their preferred narratives, often ignoring the numbers that don't support, instead of coming to conclusions after doing research. He says many on VSiN, for example, he's talking about our network, he says, seem to be predicting a Commanders crash and burn this year. It's okay. Fezzik said they couldn't play a lick last December, so it is what it is. No, I will never let those comments die. Hey, you know, StatLogic, me and you are the simpatico on the Commanders hate. What we were pointing out yesterday was, and I, by the way, I don't know to what extent what you're saying is true sports media wise or not. I'm sure there are those who do that backfit the opinion with data that supports it and then ignore the data that doesn't. Paul Carr could speak to this coming up momentarily. But when it comes to the one score things, Kelly and I were discussing this yesterday, which is it doesn't mean it's going to pendulum swing all the way to the other side. It doesn't mean that it won't result in teams adjusting to, hey, now we're not just going to beat you by one score, we're going to beat you by three scores, right? So nothing is that quantifiable in that way, but it does allow for an interesting contextual point, let's put it that way. So, but you're right, it shouldn't lead to a backfitting of support of an original conclusion, let's put it that way, or an original prediction. This is from Razorblade. Gambling is a secondary income for me, and this change will instantly ruin me. Hypothetical $750,000 won minus $710,000 loss and a decent side income becomes an unaffordable tax bill. $40,000 income versus $111,000 is simply not sustainable. That's what I was saying earlier. And then Steve the Proxy. With every new tax scheme, the U.S. government greed has shifted from regulating sports betting to strangling it. When it comes to fumbling the bag, this is the butt fumble of legalized gambling. As we get smarter with crypto, where do they think we're all going?
Great tweets. It's great tweets. And
best listeners.
The Vegas and the casinos here, I'm interested to see the reaction. I would assume it hurts tourism dollars. It's going to hurt casino dollars. It's going to hurt casino
points. Vegas already just in not having a good year tourism wise.
Yeah.
Let's talk to Paul Carr. See where in the world he is now as he travels the country, the biggest time of year for him. He not only is the host of the Expected Value podcast, he not only does the Ringer soccer podcast, but he also works at True Media Networks. That's his day job, where he proliferates analytics to all kinds of sports leagues and sports teams, those that are open to it anyway. He joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive guest line, at Paul Carr, C-A-R-R, on Twitter. How you doing, Paul? Where are you, man?
I am in your old stomping grounds, Washington, D.C. The U.S. women have a big rivalry game with Canada tonight that I'm working with TNT.
Ooh, very nice. Explain to folks this time of year all the different things you're dealing with.
Summer is usually busy for us because that's when the big soccer tournaments happen. We do research support for TV networks. So, yeah, this summer we're doing Club World Cup with TNT. We're doing Gold Cup with Fox. We're doing Women's Euros, which start today with Fox, on top of the usual U.S. games. There were four earlier in June, and then three U.S. women's games right now. So we do varying degrees of research support for all those things, in this case, all at the same time. So it's been a little nutty.
A little nutty, but the alternative isn't as fun, right? You'll take this as a life.
Yeah.
Let's start with
this is the path we've chosen.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Let's start with the odds to win the CONCACAF Gold Cup. We'll just throw this up on the screen here.
Yeah.
Mexico, even money. USA, plus 110. Then Honduras and Guatemala, 18-1 each. They're a play here or no?
I guess if you're really sold on Mexico, now is probably the time to do it. Because, you know, obviously this is assuming a Mexico-U.S. final in which the U.S. will still be about the same price, but Mexico will be, you know, a little juicy. So, I mean, if you love Mexico, which I don't love them, I think they're rightfully the favorite, but they haven't played all that well, as we'll get to. So, yeah, I don't think there's anything really worth taking a flyer on here.
Are you one of these guys? If we were watching you watch a USA-Mexico match, a USA-Mexico CONCACAF final, do you go out of your Paul Carr normal persona and go nuts for the USA, or are you still this guy?
If I'm not working, then I will exit the persona a little bit more. You know, if I'm just sitting on the couch with my buddies, then we're, you know, yelling at the TV and a little more, whatever, traditional sports fan guy. If I'm in a game, yeah, if I'm working in the booth or whatever, then obviously a little more restrained and all that yelling is going on inside. But then the head kind of overrides the heart a little bit and is a look for the numbers or the right note to give announcers or whatnot.
I would be entertained by a cursing, spitting Paul Carr watching.
Yeah,
soccer,
me too. Right? Me
yeah,
too.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Gold Cup.
A lot of pacing. I tend to pace, you know, get up behind the couch and just kind of walk back and forth if it's close.
Gold Cup semis tonight, USA, Guatemala, USA minus 340 on the three-way, Guatemala plus 950, followed by Mexico and Honduras. Mexico, similarly, a big favorite on the three-way, $3 favorite, Honduras, 9-1 dog. No play on the first, but a play on the second?
Yeah, I like the under 2.5 on Mexico, Honduras, minus 120 you see there. I think I got a minus 115 last night. Mexico has two goals from open play at the tournament. They've scored more goals than that, but I think four on set pieces. One was an own goal. So their attack hasn't been great, even though the results have looked all right. But their defense has been really good. They're giving up very low quality shots, the lowest quality shots in the tournament on the whole, about half the quality of your average shot. Honduras is okay. They got five goals in four games, but obviously not an offensive juggernaut. So this just screams Honduras wants to keep it tight and try to maybe get to penalties. And Mexico doesn't necessarily, they haven't figured out their offensive firepower to, you know, run up the score on them. So I like under 2.5 here. Minus 115 is my price. You should be able to find it right around there.
All right. The other big international tournament happening, the FIFA Club World Cup. Catch the fever. How have you been doing this, by the way?
I've only sprinkled on a little bit, down just a touch on this one, but I've got my South America to win the tournament. It's in okay shape. I got two South American teams in the quarterfinals on the same half of the bracket, for better or worse. It's the weaker half of the bracket, so pretty decent shot at getting one of them to the final.
PSG, Bayern Munich on Saturday. You have a play here.
Yeah, so this is the other half of the bracket where you've got this matchup, and the other quarterfinal is Real Madrid, Dortmund. So we've got, you know, essentially a Champions League semifinals on that half of the bracket. This is going back, old reliable. I'm taking the better team here in PSG Bayern Munich. PSG won Champions League, and you know, we're basically the best team in the world the last few months. You could argue Barcelona had a similar peak, but their defense was in shambles. And PSG has looked the same part here in the Bayern, ever since running up the score 10-0 on Auckland City in the opener, have been, you know, fairly average, haven't really created the kinds of chances we're used to seeing Bayern do. So this is just PSG's just better. I mean, top to bottom, better defense, better midfield, more depth and variety in attack. So getting plus money on them to win, this is a 90-minute bet, but getting plus money on this, I like quite a bit. If you're feeling a little more crazy, you can lay a goal and a half, like plus 325 or so. But I played PSG just to straight win this one at plus 125.
All right, odds to win the Club World Cup, PSG, the aforementioned PSG, plus 225, Real Madrid, plus 270, Chelsea, plus 450, Bayern Munich, plus 550 from?
Das Bundesliga.
Palmeiras, Al-Hilal, uh-huh. Fluminense, and Dortmund from?
Das Bundesliga. Dortmund?
Rounding up the...
I don't know Fluminense.
Rounding up the rest of them. No, Dortmund. I was going... Okay. Just, I only go to you with Bundesliga.
Thank you.
Yeah. Hmm? Any play here?
I don't think so. I mean, the weaker half of the bracket is more interesting. So, you know, Palmeiras, Fluminense, double digits is, you know, if you want to take a flyer, that is fun. Since I already have those two South American teams jointly, I'm sticking with that one.
Okay. Paul Carr from Washington, D.C. The Wi-Fi is a little janky, so we're going to let you go, Paul. But thank you so much for the plays. Appreciate it.
No problem. Hotel Wi-Fi.
Hotel Wi-Fi. By the way, Tua, I have a Bills Dolphins 1-2 exact in the East. Don't let me down, Tua. I'm going to blame you, Paul, if it doesn't work out. Let's go.
All right, I'll take it.
Also, he's a Royals fan. I should tell him Royals stop beating the Mariners.
Yeah, that would be nice. That would be nice.
Need some wins here in early July. By the way, we should look at some Wimbledon adjusted now futures when we get back from the break as well. As we just got asked on Twitter. Now that all the carnage has happened at the top of the Wimbledon top 10 seedings boards on each side. So we'll take a look at that. We'll also talk to so many others, including Greg Peterson. The whole Major League Baseball full day slate. We'll get to that and more. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.